following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you so much for dialing in, tuning in, streaming, whatever it is, clicking. I don't know. Well, whatever it is that you do, I appreciate it. It's episode 324. This would be the 26th day of April of 2020 is the date of production. It's a Sunday. It's a little late. I'm like, it should be out by now. I know, it'll be out here in a little while. What? I know that makes absolutely no sense for those that are hearing that going, what? What is he talking about? It's out now. It's usually out by like 5:30, and right now it's 5:30 and I'm taping it. I've been busy. How could you possibly be busy in the midst of a pandemic? Well, I'll tell you, I've got a lot of things going on, and that's all I can tell you. No, seriously, I do. I do have a few things going on. You know, look, every situation that we face, and I've said this on the air several times, every situation that we face presents opportunities. You just have to look for them. Yeah, you got to go out there. You got to stick yourself out there and get into it and have your time. Does it have anything to do with the pandemic? Not really. No. Dude, I'm digging it. I mean, I am digging the quarantine. I'm an introvert, so it works for me. It's an introvert's paradise. I've said it before on this very show. I like this. I can sit here back in my office, have a nice chat with you folks. I can open up the back door, listen to the birds that are singing, enjoy the spring air. It's screened in, too, so nothing else comes in. See, I'm liking this. I can get used to this. I know a lot of folks are thinking the same way about it. And at the same time, there's a lot of folks that are like going nuts and they want to get back out and they want to go do their thing. However, it seems that the bottom line from what I've heard or what I've seen from people is that no matter where they are in the extrovert introvert spectrum, if you will, they're all at the same conclusion that they don't want to mix and mingle with too many people. That's good. You know, that even if restaurants were to open like next week, they'd be like, I'm not gonna go. No, I'm good. The takeout thing is fine. They're happy with that. They like the takeout thing. I think the takeout thing is gonna be around. I think it'll certainly be a thing. And I think smart restaurants should look into this and say, well, you know what? There's just that much more we can sell. Which is really what it boils down to. You know, I mean, when you go into a restaurant, you know, okay, you find your restaurant that you like, whatever it is, and you go there because of, you know, there's a certain dish you like to get at that place. I get that. And a lot of it too is the environment. It's the atmosphere. That's what's kind of cool about it. However, I prefer to have my atmosphere and my environment as free from communicable disease as possible. That would be sort of wise. And because of that, I'm okay, you know, slapping on my bandana across my face, zipping into a grocery, pick up what I need, get out, get back in the car and go home. And I'm fine with that. It's, you know, shit. You know what? What are you going to do? But anyway, I got sidetracked here because I wanted to tell you I've been busy and I was busy today. And it's not that I forgot about doing this show. It's like I needed to get this other stuff done and I didn't realize how late I was going to be. And I had time crunches to make it happen. But I can tell you this. There are a couple of projects that are in the works. One of them has nothing to do with Radio Memphis that I'm working on. Imagine that. Wow, you do something outside of the radio station? I do. I do a couple of things. Perhaps I'll elaborate more later. But one such thing is going to involve video. Yeah. Oh, buddy, look out. There's some stuff happening. What kind of video, Rick? I can't elaborate. You'll know soon enough. So, yes, I was out doing some of that, and it's cool because the thing that I'm doing is so easily socially distanceable. It's easy for me to stay apart from other people. I don't like being around them anyway. So, anyway, look out for that. So there, but that's not what I'm getting into. We're going to get into a little bit of what is going on, of course, with COVID-19 that is happening out there, but it's affecting all sorts of things. And one of the things I like to do is I like to observe how the world is impacted by various things. those of you who have listened to this program long enough know how I feel about that. I mean, you know, like about how the internet has impacted our world and how certain situations impact our society. And this is certainly one of them. So we're going to delve deep into the world of the televangelist. Yeah, why not? You know, I love talking about him because, well, I'll explain all of it right up here out of the break here from Radioland. Don't go away.
Wizards is corona-free and is your headquarters for your essential quarantine supplies. Their viral sale is happening right now with deals throughout the store. Get some sage to chase away the bad stuff. Incense, woodwick candles, decorative fans, and things to keep you busy while you're stuck at home. T-shirts, bandanas, hats, and more on sale right now. CBD, Kratom products, and personal cleansers for that job interview. Open 10 to 10 every day at 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, or get it all delivered when you order online at wizardsmemphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Social media is rife with thoughts, theories, ideas. God, Facebook. I didn't know there were that many epidemiologists out there. I knew that there was a bunch of sociologists, which is fine. I get that because everybody studies society, right? Everybody got their spin on this disease, and everybody got this, that, and the other. And they're all taking it like it's kind of jokey. That's because none of these people don't know of anybody personally that has had it. Or if they do, they're not talking about it. And that's the thing, you know. COVID-19, of course, just rampaging through our country. As of last I saw, we're creeping up on like 57,000 fatalities from this, maybe more. The president had said, oh, we'll see no more than 60. But we're about to scoot right on by that. And part of it, too, that we're seeing is a lot of it going, hey, it's time to get back to work. We need to get the economy going. We've heard from politicians who have said things like, there are things more important than living. That's a direct quote from the lieutenant governor of the state of Texas. There are more important things than living. I'm just going to let that lay there for a second. There are more important things, and that's a direct quote from the lieutenant governor Dan Patrick of the state of Texas. The fuck is wrong with you? Really? I mean, you're gonna sit there and make those kind of statements, and then you turn around, and this is something that you see too a lot of, perhaps you're involved in this, a lot of religious posts. Oh man, everybody finally found Jesus. They were big time over there. Oh, God's gonna get us out of here. It's the only cure for this is Jesus. And of course they have these pictures, these cartoony drawings of Jesus, and you know, Jesus being the white guy that he is, you know, up in the Oval Office behind the Resolute desk behind the president, helping him sign the hell is wrong with that. Lots of Jesus. And when you have lots of Jesus in the mix, it's great. I mean, you know, everybody's got to have something, I suppose. And right now, with the pandemic, there comes with that other things that you don't necessarily consider on their individual basis. But one of the things that you have is fear, and lots of it. And when you get a lot of fear, because let's be fair here, the COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, novel being new, learn Latin. The idea here is that it's doing things to people we've never considered. We've only known this thing technically since the end of December. It's up for conjecture as to how much we've actually known and for how long. However, having said all that, there's six more symptoms they're adding to this. That they're saying, yeah, see, the CDC adds six new possible coronavirus symptoms. A lot of this is all kind of the same. Fever, cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, new loss of taste or smell. And then there's others. Trouble breathing, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, new confusion or inability to arouse, bluish lips or face. You got that going for you. They didn't add COVID toes. What? COVID toes is happening to the youngsters. It's the like 15 to 20-year-olds, somewhere in there. And they're asymptomatic aside from the fact they get these little blemishes on their feet. And it could only be on the top of the foot. It could be on the toe. It could be in between the toes. It may be on the bottom of the feet and around the soles. It could be on the bottom of the toes. And they're kind of painful. And they last for a few days, and then they go away. And the people that have had those have tested positive for COVID-19, yet they are otherwise asymptomatic. I mean, what? This is bizarre. This is a strange thing, and there's all these new complications that come along with it. So yeah, when you hear of this type of stuff, it makes sense that you are going to find yourself looking for other bits of solace. There's only so much a ham sandwich will give you in the form of some type of solace. I don't know what that bottom of that is, but still, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, God, how much can you drink? A lot, apparently. I'm not having to really go anywhere. Who cares? Why are we doing this? What is going on? What kind of fear do we have to contend with? I can't go to church anymore. That's the whole thing. If you're like really religious, they're like, I can't go to church anymore because of the social distancing guidelines. And it's made some people a little uptight. And there were some that were saying, oh, this is illegal. This is against the Constitution of the United States. It's against the freedom of No. No, this is done in an effort to keep you from dying, for one. Number two, it's to keep you from your asymptomatic self from infecting me. That's what that is. Or infecting somebody else. Or infecting somebody who doesn't have the ability to fight it off. That's what this is about. All of a sudden, these crazy, weird, super conservative alt-right people that were talking about they said they literally wanted to have the freedom to contract the virus. Now all of a sudden they're like pro-choice. I don't understand this. A few months ago you're all about, oh, we can't have abortion because we can't be killing people because every life is sacred. So we say, hey, guess what? There's a virus going around, and if you get it, it could probably kill you. So we're going to say you need to stay home from church. And they go, oh no, if I want to get the virus, goddammit, it's my decision, not yours. They're all pro-choice now. I don't understand. I don't understand that. We live in such a weird time because this is going on. And while all of this, now as we're on to the Jesus thing, because they all want to go to church, there's been some pastors who have defied the orders. Instead of doing what a lot of other guys were doing, which was, you know, live streaming their church services, you know, you can do it like through Facebook Live, or you can go through YouTube Live, I think it'd allow you to do it. You might want to shut the comments off of that, though. There's a million ways you can do it and have you a fine old time. And you can attend your services, and it's not the same, but you're at least you can get the message, you know, if that's what you want, if that's what you need, that's great. But then there were those who have said, no, we will not suspend our services. We will be opening our doors to our church and our building, and we will have these people come in here to worship at the feet of the Lord because we're stronger than the virus. It's a lofty goal. It turned out it was proven to be false because several churches that had violated those orders wound up later having a lot of their congregants test positive for COVID-19. And it's not a good look for them. And there's a pastor out there who has become rather famous for this. He's a real piece of work too. Louisiana pastor Tony Spell. He had church last week at the Life Tabernacle Church. And, you know, he's bound and determined to, I don't know, kill everybody in his congregation, I suppose. But the law enforcement people showed up. The police, they shut him down. They charged him last week after his decision to hold the mass gatherings, defying public health orders during a pandemic. Guess where he was today? He was back in church. He did it again. Although he did it bringing something a little different with him, his ankle monitor. Bitch is under house arrest, and he's like, not stopping me. He wants to be that guy to show the whole world that he's defying these laws because God has deemed such. A Facebook live stream from Tabernacle Church, I'm reading this from CBS, cbsnews.com. Showed Spell walking among more than 100 congregants, often repeating the phrase, quote, I've just got to get to Jesus. Come on, America, let's get back to Jesus. Unquote. Nearly all parishioners were not wearing face masks, and social distancing was not being practiced. I'm looking at a still from a video of the guy. Well, this is awful to say. He reminds you of one of those guys that when you see, you just want to punch him in the face. He's just that guy for no reason at all. He just looks like he just needs a good pop in the nose. The police department in Central, which is a suburb of Baton Rouge, said that on their Facebook page that Spell turned himself into the department last week on charges of aggravated assault and improper backing. Last Sunday, Nicholas here drove a church bus in reverse in the direction of the sign-holding protester. Yeah, there was a protester going, get your ass at home and wash your goddamned hands. And he tried to run him over. That's the aggravated assault charge. And this guy's just, you know, he's still out there. And he's only one. But that's what you might say. Well, there's only one. There's always a bad apple in the bunch. Dude, do you really know in how many communities across the United States of America there are people that are doing exactly this? Because they think the rules don't apply to them. In a way, we're sort of dealing with that here in Memphis. Governor Bill Lee of the state of Tennessee stated that he was going to be lifting the safer at home mandates on the 5th of May. For every county in the state of Tennessee, except for like four of them. And those are the big metropolitan ones like Memphis and Nashville and Knoxville and whatever the other one was. Our own mayor here in Memphis, Jim Strickland, has said that on May 5th, he's going to reevaluate it. So there is that. There was a rumor going around that there will be a time shortly thereafter, like on the 6th, that restaurants might be open. And there's a lot of people that are going, no, that's not, we can't do this just yet. This area where we live in here in the United States, in the greater tri-state area, there is, we haven't hit the peak yet. And the numbers keep going up. Now, granted, they're lower than they are in other metropolitan places in this country, but still, they're going up. It's been estimated by the Centers for Disease Control, the Tennessee Department of Health, the Shelby County Department of Health, and the City of Memphis Department of Health. All of these people have agreed that it would be safe to say that the top of the curve for this area will occur between the middle part of May and the middle part of June. And then after that, we can start to see a tail off. Perhaps, maybe. Instead, everybody's like, now we got to open things up. Got to get the economy back up together. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And if you do that, you're going to have a problem with reinfection rates and numbers going back up. And then everything goes back to square one again. And we just like reset and we have to stop and go back into our homes. And we have to hide again. We have to file for the unemployment again. Then we have to do this again. We have to wait for the stimulus. And we got to sit there and watch our neighbors die because they were stupid. And that's what this boils down to. They're stupid. This is the same people who think that the president of the United States was being sarcastic when he said you should ingest disinfectants. He was not being sarcastic. It was a lie that he said that in the first place. And the statement about him injecting disinfectants is just a display of just how stupid this man is. And dangerous. And reckless. And there are stories coming out of large cities, mind you, which is shocking, large cities, there are stories of people that are having to call the poison control line because of some sort of misuse of disinfectants. And this has happened since this dumb fuck stood on stage and said it. Now, I would hate to think that there has to be a coincidence here because I know people are not that stupid. Well, there again. Trump is, clearly. He's not very bright. I mean, look, you get these people that say, oh, no, he's just being sarcastic. He's a stable genius. This is a guy who looked at the solar eclipse with his bare eyeballs. Yeah, stable genius, my ass. I think it fried a little bit of his brain. Don't drink Lysol. Don't drink bleach. Don't inject isopropyl alcohol. Don't wipe your face with Lysol, for God's sake.
Stop it. No, it's not meant for that.
It's meant to clean the surfaces, to clean that nasty-ass toilet of yours. Wipe down your counters, your kitchen counters, that kind of thing. That's what that's for. Bleach is kind of for your laundry and some other things. You could do a little bit of your dishes with it. You know, there's that. I mean, there's things you can do, but it has to be heavily diluted in nothing, right? Nothing, you know. I'm not a chemist, but I can tell you that disinfectants belong outside the body. And what's the other thing? Oh, we know the UV light will kill it. Well, what do you want to do, genius? Shall we run a fluorescent bulb up everybody's ass and kick the switch for a minute? No. But these are the same ideas that are coming from this guy, and his guy's supporters are those that are sitting there wondering why they can't go to church on Sunday. Meanwhile, Kenneth Copeland, not to be outdone, who is a major televangelist, who has said that Jesus is commanding you to sign over your stimulus check to these people. Jesus needs his money. Look, if God is all-knowing and omnipotent, and if he's truly somebody who loves you, why does he have such a problem with money? It just slips through his fingers. I don't know. I don't understand. And when the evangelists start speaking like this, most of America, most of the world, rolls their eyes collectively. So much so you could probably hear it if you listened carefully. And those that sit there and defend it are just beyond the pale. What kind of a conversation can you have with these people? Oh, you're a godless heathen. No, I'm a realist. I understand certain things. I know that homeopathic medicine is not curing this. Oh, I just think he just needs some more lavender. Maybe some sandalwood. Why don't we prepare an enema of some basil and some garlic and, let's just make some Italian salad dressing and run it up his ass. That should probably cure it. No. Homeopathic medicine does not cure it. If you want to pray, pray. But you have to act. There are other religious leaders out there that will tell you that. Go ahead, pray. Pray your ass off. Pray your nuts off. Go and prostrate yourself to the Lord, whatever deity that you have. Beg. Beg for relief. Beg for sanctuary. But nothing, nowhere in any text, sacred or otherwise, throughout the history of mankind and its relationship with an Almighty, does it say that after you pray, you should just forget about it. You got to act. You know, it goes back to that joke, the guy that was in the middle of a flood and he was stranded on the roof of his house. Everything else was, you know, was all underwater. And the water kept coming up, and he prayed. He said, oh, dear God, dear Jesus, dear whatever. Send help. Help me. Please don't leave me here. And a guy in a boat comes by. He goes, here, hop in. He goes, no, Jesus is going to save me. Have you heard this? And the guy goes on his way, and a helicopter comes by a bit later and lowers a rope down. He says, come on, get on the rope. Your house is going to sink. You're going to die. And he goes, no, Jesus is, I'm waiting on Jesus. He's going to save me. And the man dies. And as he's standing there in front of the throne of the Almighty, having to answer for his life, God says, why did you let yourself die in that flood? He says, well, I don't get it. I asked Jesus to help me, to save me. He says, I sent a goddamn boat and a helicopter. What else do you want? You know, you got to act. You got to do on this type of stuff. Don't be a dumbass. Jesus. Pardon the pun. But that's what it is. You know? And be reasonable. I preach it all the time, being reasonable. If Kenneth Copeland is going to sit there on television and bark about how much he needs more money so he can buy another fucking Lear jet so he can spread the word of God without having to ride with us chickens in the coach, you have to give him your money, you see, right? Because he's somehow closer to God than you are? That you know, and what's really sad is that these idiots that really buy into this sort of thing, and they just oh, how much do I write the check for? Who do I make it out to? You know, it's along the same lines, almost as infuriating as with this Paycheck Protection Program in the SBA. Two times now, this happened twice. They did the first one in the $2.2 trillion stimulus package where they opened up a bunch of money. It was like on a $250 billion, I think it was, $249 billion to bail out the mom and pops. What happened? All the hedge fund guys, 100 of the top 50 publicly traded companies out there got that money. Ruth's Chris, I know they're giving the money back, whatever. You took it and you sat on it. They took $20 million. The fuck? Well, we're giving the money back. Too late. You've done your damage. Applebee's sitting on $10 million that they got on this. The hell for? You're not a small business. A bunch of companies you've never heard of that were publicly traded in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange, they got stimulus money. I know people that own their own businesses. Hell, I'm one of them. I couldn't get anything. Money was gone. Guess what? Here, the second stimulus package that was signed into play, what, Thursday morning? Guess what? It's basically gone. No hope. It's absolutely no. It's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. And there are these people that sit there and defend it. Well, it's the way it is. But by God, you're not going to step in my way when I've got to go to the church. And I got to put money in that plate. I've never known. This is a truth. I've never really known of too many churches that do anything good with that money, ever. There's one that I kind of know of that does some stuff good, but for the most part, no, they don't do anything with it. They pay off the lawsuits. You know, when one of them's got caught fucking a kid, you know, it's one of those things. They pay that off. They got to hide these priests and whatnot. It takes a lot of money to do that. And they buy off the property, you know, then they got to get more donations from the people to put a roof on the church. That's the big thing. And they're going to sit there and they're going to tell you that the only way you're going to get out of this pandemic that's wiping everybody else off the globe is to have your faith in Jesus, because Jesus is the only way that's going to cure it. Okay. Possibly, maybe, but he doesn't do it. So that leads me to the conclusion that he just doesn't give a shit really right now, or he's kind of busy dealing with something else. In the meantime, there are doctors and scientists that are working for various pharmaceutical companies that seem to be working for the good of humanity at the moment, because normally I would have a hard time making that statement stick. Johnson & Johnson is one of them. They're so confident in the vaccine that they are developing right now, and they're putting through a testing phase. They're going through like limited testing. They've gotten some of the red tape to clear out of the way so they can speed up this process. They're doing that. But they're so confident in it, they've ordered 800 million doses. Can you imagine? Nearly a billion doses of this drug out of their own pocket. Now, what's going to happen when it gets approved? Who knows? It may be like, oh, yeah, here, come get your COVID shot. That'll be $300, please. I certainly hope that's not the case. Look, I get 10 bucks. That's fine. We'll come up with that. But, you know, still. But that's happening. There is this point where humanity has a history of going all the way to the precipice of complete disaster. You're standing there facing cataclysm. And you do everything except what you're supposed to do. And you stand there on the brink of complete and utter destruction and devastation. And then you do something. That's humanity. That's what it's like being a human. That's the way it's always been. This is not going to be any different. And mistakes are going to be. There's some mistakes being made now. We have the highest fatality rate in the United States. It has the highest fatality rate of any country from COVID.
Oh, it's not fair, bro.
Yeah, it is fair. It's fair to say that because it could have been mitigated some. I would like to think we could have probably have gotten ahead of this, you know, by not letting the scary orange man sit around with his thumb up his ass. for 90 days.
Well, I closed the borders to China. We're not doing business with China.
Bullshit. I just bought an electronic part that is on its way to me from China. So tell me how that's working. And they're flying it. Okay. It's not on a boat. They're fucking flying the thing. Still, you can get on a plane and fly to China all you want to. Go to Europe. I don't know where you'll land, but you can go. Flights over there are coming here. Now there's people that are just angry sending off messages and whatnot to me. And they go, no, no, you're full of shit. You know what you're talking about. Yeah, well, I do. I do know what I'm talking about. And I see it being played out in front of us in every step of the way. And it's frightening. And this is why people sit there on social media and they go through source after source after source of story after story after story. And they always turn back to, well, what would Jesus do? I got a pretty good answer for that. I mean, what would Jesus do? Not what we're doing now.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Technology is great. Trust me, I play around with it all the time. I'm always horsing around with some sort of house party is the newest one. I got a thing over there. I've used it a few times. It's kind of cool. Oh, not to be outdone, you see. Facebook has joined the fray. Oh, goody. That's what everybody wants. They're now they have this thing called Messenger Rooms that can hold up to like 50 people. Oh, great. So I get to turn those people down too. No, oh my God. If you think for a minute that the stuff that you're getting from all the people that message you with all the shit, wait till you get a load of this. That's going to suck. We've got Zoom, we've got all this stuff, but everybody's going to have a piece of that pie because it's data. They're going to have 50 people in the room that they can really spy on all at the same time, and now they can really just micromanage all of the ads that you're seeing. Great.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, Player.fm, Stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
All right, Jerry Days, you heard what's coming up next time here on the program. Kim Jong-un, I got to mention him. Is he dead? Is he alive? You know what? The bookie websites, you know, the kind that you can gamble on all sorts of stuff, they're not taking the bets. They're not taking it because they think he's dead. I think they're right. I think he's been dead. I think what they're doing is they're trying to figure out how to break it to the North Koreans. That's what's going on. Isn't it weird? We're sitting here, you and I are talking about this. Here's this dumbass me sitting here in Memphis who's able to talk about the North Koreans. And the North Koreans aren't listening to this because they don't get this kind of show, although they would probably dig it. I'm being glib. They'd have to understand it first. But nevertheless, they don't know that their dear leader is dead. Deader than fried chicken. And they can't go public with this or there's going to be a revolution, you see. Because they go, oh, there's a power vacuum. Now we can come and take our country back. Or perhaps the military is trying to figure out how they can take it away from the Un family. But then you've got dear sister. I can't think of her name. She's got a resting bitch face. She really does. She looks like she's just really uptight. She looks like she needs the high hard one a little bit, pretty good. How dare you, Rick? How do you say that? She's a dictator, and she needs to have the dick and dictator. You know what I'm saying? You know, she's trouble all the way around. She's got nuclear bombs, and she's not afraid to use them. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. It'll be interesting. It will be interesting, because the next time we meet, all of that, we'll probably have more answers, I would think. You know what I'm saying? So there. All right, look, I got to go. I got some stuff to do. Tonight, radio-memphis.com, the Booze and Blues, 8 p.m. Central Time, not happening. Again, I wish it were. There may be a time here where I may go up there and start, you know, just making a solo appearance on the air with it. I don't know yet, but there will be, if you want some blues music, it will be played from 8 to about midnight tonight. 8 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. I'm going to dig into the library and I'll put up a bunch of good tunes that you can just kind of hang out and have a cocktail with and enjoy to escape this this madness that is the COVID-19 pandemic. Hopefully soon we'll be able to kind of get our shit together at the studio, but I'm not going to do it until everything is better. I'm almost like I'd be willing to hold out for an antibody test at this point. We just can't take those kinds of risks in a very closed environment. So we shall see. Hopefully sooner than later, you know, we'll go from there. Monday, the Radio Memphis in the Morning show with me and LJ, that's not happening either. I kid. Well, I mean, it'll happen just without us. It's just going to be a thing. Taking the day off, actually. We're both going to get some stuff done. I'll be around. I'm just not going to be on the air tomorrow. I need the day to get some things going. And since this whole pandemic, I haven't really had much of a chance to just slow my roll that much, and I need to take advantage of it. You know, it's a good thing. So yeah, you know, enjoy. It's a 3-day weekend for me. You know what? I tell you what, I think it should be a 3-day weekend for you too. Unless you're an essential worker, you know, like construction, you know. Is construction considered an essential worker? I don't know. Those of you that are working in construction that hear this are probably cussing me out for it, and I get it. Because you need a paycheck too. But I don't know. Y'all be sweet, okay? I gotta go. Y'all take care of one another. Take care of one of each other, and look out for each other, if you will. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? Go wash your hands, really, please. Do it. Do it now. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.